and welcome back to another episode of the Black Tower Podcast. It's a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your hosts, your Bajan Mahal, your Mahal of shitty internet connection, Andrew.
I am your Amenkan Mahal and your Mahal of too many head hairs, and Daniel. And we are joined in spirit by our Soravan Mahal, the Mahal of not being here all the time, Josh.
Poor guy. I'll say poor guy. He's out doing stuff with family. So he is far from poor guy. He is living it up with the family. So hope all that went well, as by the time anybody else hears this, it'll be a week and a half-ish after. But it is the holiday season, so we all know that Josh is especially busy helping his wife, the Crystal Barista, with her business around the holiday time, as well as the normal family things. So neither one of us have kids, so we don't have to deal with recitals.
Lord, no kids.
Yeah.
Indeed. Lord no kids and Duke no kids.
Who's the Lord and who's the Duke?
It's up to you, dude. I don't care.
I'm fine with whatever. give me the lesser title. It means slightly lesser responsibility.
Technically, Lord, I think, would be the lesser title. I think Duke is actually higher. But I could be wrong about that. If I am wrong, let me know in the comments and whatnot underneath this video. Be like, no, Duke's lower, you fuckface.
Well, it depends. Are we talking about 12th century Britannia or...
Yeah, yes, that was what I was doing.
I don't even know if it was still called Britannia in like... the 1100s.
Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah. Of our whole episode like this.
Yeah.
Hello, so, Andrew.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'd be better if my Wi-Fi didn't keep having green epileptic seizures.
Pie. Yeah, that's terrible. I am sorry about that.
I don't know what's going on. I'm the only person in the house. There's no microwave going on. There's nobody else using the Wi-Fi. It's literally just my computer and my phone connected, plus whatever may still be on in the house, but nothing actively using it other than me. So unless one of the neighbors got the Wi-Fi password, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
No, it's okay. Your roommate is just downloading like 2 terabytes worth of porn right now. That's why it's so...
Him and his girlfriend are downloading the latest like 25 gig patch update for Apex.
actually legit though, it might be a situation where if your roommate downloaded Cyberpunk, it might be preparing for that, because that comes out tomorrow.
Actually, today is the 9th Eastern time. An hour ago, you actually could have started playing Cyberpunk 2077.
Only if you're a part of a special thing, because they're on Poland time, but it does come out... Oh, no, you're right, because it comes out midnight on the 10th Poland time.
I only know this because I looked at it yesterday, because a coworker and I were talking about it.
Yep.
Because he asked me, just like, did Cyberpunk finally drop? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. I've seen more memes about it recently. And that's whenever I started looking at the times, and I was like, oh, okay. So
I should have it tomorrow, my special edition, because I'm still a bitch who gets physical copies of games. So they need to actually ship it to me. My special edition of Cyberpunk 2077 comes tomorrow.
How long are you going to spend customizing your Friday, genitals?
Depending. The plan is to spend 0 minutes customizing my genitalia, but about 4.5 hours customizing literally everything else.
That's fair. That's one customization scene they can't show on screen. And I'm planning on streaming
all 4 of the custom, or all 4 hours of the customization, and just skipping the genitalia.
Just throwing up, like, just minimize the screen so it only shows, like, this much.
My only fans for that.
It's literally just, like, this much of your character over the screen on the stream.
Yeah, I'll be on Twitch for all of the regular customizations, and then I'll pop over to my OnlyFans for the genitalia customization.
What do you guys think? Is 25.6 feet too much, or...
Whoa, yes.
That'd be fine.
Clearly. Dude, if you're over 20 feet, why?
Why not? At that point, you just got to get a tattoo, like a tape measure, so that you can measure things on the fly.
Right? Oh, Jesus. Anyway, we were going to talk about something else, weren't we?
Yeah. So all of you that have been playing, by the time you're hearing this, Cyberpunk for about a week and a half or so, hopefully it is all that was hyped up to be and worth the 8 years of waiting. So... hope you're enjoying that. I currently have no plans.
Hey, man, why would you ask that? Why would you say that? This game's going to be awesome. You're breathtaking.
I currently have no plans of getting it and or playing it. That's because I don't really have that much time to play games, as I have discovered. Because Wednesday through Fridays are reserved for
Tower Podcast this. Days.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because we got to go to do the recording, the editing, the posting, all that fun stuff. But by the time you're listening to this, the charity stream will have ended. And so you will have already seen and how that
was,
went.
And what a holiday it was.
Oh, yeah. I have nothing but the highest lofty expectations for it, just because it's just so many fantastic content creators. I'm sure it went off without a hitch. And I'm going to call it now that we at least met the goal. We'll see how right or wrong I...
The confidence is fantastic.
Yeah. If I didn't meet the goal, well, then I was wrong. But any bit that we can, you know, get to people that are in need is fantastic. So
agreed.
So if you showed up for that and you were there for that, thank you. By the time you're listening to this, we'll have already chosen the winner for the giveaway for it. So congratulations to whoever you are.
Congratulations to input name in here in editing.
Yeah, that I won't be able to because this will be edited tomorrow. So I won't have it.
No, because it goes out to Patreons before the thing.
Yep, for our dedicated and above. You get it the Friday after it's recorded.
Indeed.
So, yeah, if you're not a Patreon and you'd like to get some early access stuff, as well as access to our pre-recordings, some cool shout-outs, and the opportunity to record a spoiler warning for us, make sure you hop on over to our Patreon. If you're watching this on YouTube, the link is in the description below. If you're listening to this through podcasting, any of the podcast apps or whatever, in the podcast description, the link should be there because it should all be imported from Podbean. If you can't find it there, head on over to blacktowerpod.com and you can find links straight to the podcast on our hosting platform, which of course is Podbean, and you can get that stuff there. I feel another sneeze coming on. This is annoying.
I believe it. And if any of you have been listening for a little while recently, bless you, then you'll already know that if you do go ahead and get up subscribe, whatever it's called, patronize us. That's not the right word, but it's funny.
If you go ahead and support
for
us.
An high that. Enough thing. Support us. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. And then go ahead and do make a spoiler warning. We've already used Knock Your Toxes like at least 4 or 5 times since he made it for us. So give him some competition. Give us some more to use. We'd be down and you'd get a chance to hear yourself on the Black Tower podcast.
Yep. So go nuts. Be as creative as you want to. And since we're doing YouTube as well, if you want to include a video element to it, you are more than welcome to. Of course, all we ask is that you avoid any kind of copyrighted imagery, that kind of stuff. For obvious reasons, we don't eventually want to get a letter from the Amazon lawyers that doesn't include how they're going to incorporate Black Tower Podcast with the TV show. That letter we're expecting in the mail any day now. No, I didn't, but, you know.
Oh, weird.
It's just my mailing address on most of the stuff. It's fine. It's fine, Amazon. You know, I wouldn't put it past, well, they have the capability to find everybody's, you know, mailing address and stuff, so.
Oh, I didn't actually get, to be fair, I didn't actually get a letter. My Amazon Echo actually just perked up the other day and was like, Daniel Byshank of the Black Tower Podcast, you have been chosen. And I was like, oh no. Oh God. And then it said stuff about Wheel of Time and I was really excited.
Wow. It wasn't the Dalek voice, just exterminate, exterminate. That explains why, because my Amazon Echo is packed up in a box somewhere.
Oh yeah. They tried to get a hold of you on it.
That's why.
It was away. You just got to pull it out.
Anyhow. You just got
to whip it out.
Yeah.
Whip out just, that echo.
Just whip it out. Speaking of whipping things out, go ahead and while you're listening to us, go ahead and whip your cursor on over to your URL in your closest internet browser and type in thegreatblight.com and go and check out the fantastic site that Nablus and his amazing team have put together and are still working on and evolving. We're not going to tell you what you can find there. You got to go and look for yourself, but it is amazing.
Amazing.
So go and definitely check that out where you can find all kinds of dope stuff. It is definitely worth the stopping by and checking out. If you are listening to us as just the podcast, please make sure that you, if you enjoy the episode and what you're listening on gives you the option, make sure you like the episode, leave comments on it, leave us a review on things like Apple Podcasts /iTunes, that kind of fantastic stuff. If you're listening to us using the Podbean app, make sure you're subscribed so that way you get the latest episode every time it comes out. It does help with our metrics and stuff as well, which can help us be involved in some exciting opportunities in the future. Because the more discretionary or disposable funds we have, the more cool stuff we can do, the more things we can give away to our listeners and that kind of stuff. So that all does help, which Patreon does go into as well. In fact, Patreon, over the time of y'all support, literally just paid for us to re-up the hosting fees for Podbean. So massive, massive thank you to our Patreons.
Nice.
For your love and support. Gracias. You guys are awesome. So, and make sure you head over to newcreationsbyjen.com and you can pick up our frosted mug, which you would have seen in the last episode, but I'll throw up a quick picture right here. So you can go and get that from New Creations by Jen. Link is somewhere on the screen, right around here somewhere. I don't know, because I'm really bad at figuring out where Zoom's recording layout actually looks like, and I never do it right. But I'll put the link on screen and in the description below, assuming that I hear this when I'm editing and remember to do so.
And last but certainly not least, when you're done going and getting yourself a frosty Black Tower mug, pop on over to The Crystal Barista on Instagram or facebook.com/rockpick. That is like rock pickaxe, not like rock pictures. And go get yourself some shiny clack clacks. They have everything over there. Make Josh's job harder. We don't want to see him until January.
Jesus. I didn't know that you disliked Josh so much. I don't know if it's...
Oh, I don't. I actually like him a lot, which is why I want him to have other things to do.
It's not a dislike of Josh.
Too much work with his wife.
It's not exactly a dislike of Josh. It's just a love for his wife's business. It's actually a lot of like
for Josh. Exactly. Bingo. So hop on over there, get yourself some things that look pretty. Christmas presents are an excellent use of that particular product, especially if you know somebody who actually is, or anything along those lines. Whether you believe in that in yourself, or you have any family members or anybody else that you're interested in buying for Christmas, they have it all over there.
Just now, because my internet dipped down again, listening to it catch up, because I guess Zoom plays the catch up, not just the skip to current. It was like a legitimate TV ad. Side effects may include. So we'll see what the recording turns out. Guys, it's a recording. It's kind of weird and stuff. That's why the internet, for some inexplicable reason, is just going stupid. It might honestly just be the fact that I have an update pending. And I haven't restarted the computer in a day and a half. So, yeah. Because I normally shut down my computer every night.
It's possible. Unlikely, but possible.
We'll see. If it does all that, it's my bad. I mean, the recording partially corrupted in weird ways.
Oh, yeah, totally. Andrew's never done anything wrong in his entire life.
Hey, it's not me doing shit wrong.
Except that one thing. But we don't talk about that one.
That one thing back in the day. But yeah, so before we can get into the meat and potatoes of what the episode is about, you guys need to
be protected. Bread?
What?
The bread, meat, and cheese of this episode? The bread.
That's probably what we should say. Episode? The bread, meat, and cheese, yeah. I like that a lot more. But, we need to give
before
you guys
we get into the
some protection.
Indeed. So before you listen into this episode, you will need to go ahead and put on your spoiler condom. You want to slide it on. Do you want pinch new spring, and then you want to just put it right on the top and slide it all the way down from 1 to 14. Because unfortunately, for anyone who has not finished the series yet, this is a full spoiler episode. I don't think that we're going to talk about a ton of stuff from book 14, but we are going to be talking about stuff all the way through the series, because the topic of our episode today is... present throughout the entire book series, and we will definitely get to things that you have not heard about if you have not finished the series.
This is true. I can confirm. Oh, and as proof, let me grab it.
Oh yes, you got it.
Da, 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 oh really? Da, virtual da, background. Da, 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 da. Right, hold on. Let me fix. Use virtual background.
It is new spring.
No. There you go. That's he what my room looks like in case you forgot. But yeah.
It is new spring.
And that's my ring light. But I have it. I have not been able to read past the cover yet. Because on days where it's actually slow at work, I forget the book at home. And on the days that I remember to bring it with me, it's too busy for me to read. And when I get home, I'm either super tired or I have some kind of podcast thing to record. I don't know. I don't pay it. It's not that important.
Who would do that?
But I have it. It is going to be read. So I can officially say that I have read the complete series. So that is happening. But that is not the topic. We are not the podcast that have recently finished New Spring.
And then we'll have to stop making fun of Andrew for not reading New Spring yet. It's going to be sad.
I'll have to get in a few more. I won't read the glossary, so you can make fun of me for that.
I'll have to make sure to get in a few more jabs between now and the time you finish it.
Oh, what have I done?
nothing. I probably won't even jab you about it at all. The topic of today's episode is not in New Spring. I mean, they're there, but they're not on the page.
They exist.
Yeah, exactly. They're there. They're just not on the page. But
read between the lines, they're in the book. Speaking
of which,
it's in the background.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes, D. Daniel.
What are we talking about today?
The Wheel of Time, of course. Go. Stupid. Go.
No, those are my tots. I'm saving them for later. Gosh.
We're talking about the O-Gear.
The O-Gear?
Oh, yes. Oh, we're talking about the O-Gear.
Yes. Long handles on axes and stumps. That's what we're talking about.
Does that mean that we have to do this episode really slowly?
Well, with my internet connection, it already seems like it, so.
It's
so bad. It's so annoying. Why is it doing this? Anyway.
Why are you doing this? Because we're Delta Airlines and life is a fucking nightmare.
I actually just heard that's on SiriusXM today.
That's our movie quote today. It's not technically a movie, but if you can tell us whose comedy special it's from, you are a good human being and I like you.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't want to use a real airline, so let's just make up an airline, like a really shitty airline, like Delta Airlines. So good. Anyway.
So.
But yes, we're talking about the O-Gear. Andrew, yep. When are O-Gear first introduced in the series?
Oh, that happens in Eye of the World.
And what is the situation in which the first O-Gear we meet is introduced?
So Rand and Matt have finally made it into Camelin. They have made it to the Queen's Blessing, as highly recommended by ye old mustache nuclear Tom Merlin. And so they get everything.
Also recommended by the Black Tower. Yes. You should definitely go to the Queen's Blessing on our Discord channel.
Oh, yeah.
But you're only let into the Queen's Blessing if you're a Patreon, so you got to do that.
Services your recommendation from Tom.
You got to buy a round of drinks. Indeed. You got to buy a round of drinks before you can go into the Queen's Blessing.
But so Rand and Matt get there. They talk with the innkeeper for a while, get everything squared away, establish their relationship of... Yeah, I know Tom, and he told us to come here if we needed help, blah, blah, blah. Matt's up in their room sulking because
Tom
he's all...
Tom Merlin? Oh, I remember him. Long mustaches, big patchy cape. Oh, I haven't seen him in 6 months.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since the Queen said that she wanted to kill him. Unrelated, I'm sure. But, so Matt is being all emo, paranoid, listening to My Chemical Romance in his room or their room. And Rand goes downstairs just to kind of get a break, feeling like he can relax. Goes into the library of the inn and sees what he at first, like most people do, at least in Camelin, which is why he's in the room. What he thought at first was a Trolloc, and it's very quickly explained that this individual is not a Trolloc.
Oh, my God, Narg!
Nope, it is not Narg. It is Loyal the O-Gear.
Son of Errant. Yeah. Son of... Yeah.
I'm trying to find his full title, because I was hoping that what I'm looking at would have a... There it is. There it is. Hold on. Wait for my struggle net to load. Loyal, son of Errant, son of Halon.
No.
There it is.
Son of Errant.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He says it like 12 times in the book, bruh.
Yeah, that's what I said. Son of Errant. Son of Halon. There's two.
No, but... Okay. Have you ever listened to it on audiobook?
Nope.
Oh, you should.
Am I just saying it wrong?
Michael Kramer is great.
Am I just saying it wrong?
I am Loyal, son of Errant, son of Hallen.
Well, I'm gonna blame my accent on that one. You never pronounce things wrong if you just have a different accent.
Hey, man, it's loyal son of Aaron, son of Halen. All right.
There you go.
Son of Van Halen.
Loyal son of Van Halen.
Wolfgang, son of Van Halen.
Jeez. It took me a split second to realize that's actually Eddie Van Halen's son's name.
Correct. Yes.
But yeah, so Loyal is not the only Ogier that he is the only Ogier that we see in Eye of the World. As the series progresses, a couple books later, we meet several others. We meet some of the elders of a particular steading, and we start to learn even more about
the Ogier. I think it's in the Great Hunt that they actually end up in steading Sofu. Is that too early? Because that's when we meet Aerith and Aerith's mom. No, not Aerith's mom. But we do meet Aerith and Elder Hammond.
Yeah.
No, we still don't meet Elder Hammond. No, it's just Aerith. Because we meet other Ogier who are from Steading Sofu, but Aerith is the only one that we then, you know, see multiple times after. And then fucking Elder Hammond and Loyal's mom follow him everywhere. Anyway, true. Sorry.
Are they trying to follow him everywhere? And
I didn't. They do follow him.
I mean, they do. They're just
they're like, they go here, and then he's like, oh no, he's back the other way you came. Okay. Oh no, he's back there. Okay. Now he's got. You're almost there. Oh wait, no. Now he traveled with an Ashimon all the way across the world.
Pretty much. So the Ogier overall, they're humanoid creatures. They're not human. By the strictest definition, and they have a reputable and intense knowledge and love of peace. They have extraordinarily long memories by virtue of their longevity. Think something along the lines of the elves from Lord of the Rings, how they've lived forever. Think Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. You know, you go to talk about history. If someone like Rand or Matt or Moraine was to try to talk to Loyal about history, it would definitely be a don't speak to me of the old magic witch. I was there when it was written. Because Loyal is already decidedly older than Rand.
If you send me my daughter back, that'll be the end of it. But if you keep her, I will find you. And I will kill you, witch.
But yeah. So they're world renowned as great architects and stonemasons, and are responsible for many of the more notable structures that we see around the world. I believe they're responsible for the bridge at White Ridge. They're also responsible for the actual... the walls, I think, and the Tower of Tarvalon.
Correct. Actually, they're responsible for most of Tarvalon, including the White Tower. Mm-hmm. But they're actually responsible for a bitch ton in the city. And in fact, they actually talk about the fact that Tarvalon is probably the last place that actually has very many buildings that are actually still Ogier built.
And I think they're one of the few places that actually still... Ogier will still come to maintain and do repairs on buildings as needed. Correct. It's not super common because they don't go...
Well, and one of the reasons for that is because Tarvalon actually still has an Ogier Grove.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to.
One of the reasons, yeah.
Like, when they're going around, Loyal mentions how the Ogier Groves in most cities have been destroyed, and when the grove was grown, it was called this, and then it was called this, and this, and this, and this. And then he kind of trails off, and the rest of the group is like, we've never heard these fucking names ever. Oh my God. We didn't ask for the history lesson. What the fuck? But it just goes to show like how long their memories are. And that was one of the things they did because Ogier are native and tied to the steadings, which if you don't know what a steading is, it's an area where if you are a Chandler, you go into and you're completely cut off temporarily from the One Power. You can sense it somewhere far off.
As long as you are within a certain area, you are cut off from it. And as soon as you step out, you immediately regain your connection. You can absolutely grab onto it. You can absolutely use it. But for the entire time that you are within the surface area of the steading, you ain't got no power. You have no power here.
Yeah. So the Ogier reside in these places, and in fact, being out of them too long creates something called the Longing, which Loyal does talk about. A lot of the steadings were lost and destroyed during the breaking of the world, and the Ogier were searching for them over time. And during this time, the sensitized Ogier really started to suffer from this longing.
Many of them died.
Yeah, a lot of them died from this, which is part of what brought about, or the main thing that brought about the Ogier groves in all the cities that used to have one. If there's a Waygate, there was an Ogier grove there 9 times out of 10, which is why we see Loyal in book one before they go into the ways talking about how this whole area used to be groves. Now they're finding a Waygate in a basement. This is bullshit. What the fuck? Because Ogier that were there doing work in the city would use the ways before they became tainted to go back to a steading to avoid the longing. And even during the breaking of the world, these steadings served as semi-safe havens for men that could channel that were going insane or needed a reprise from it. And the ways was kind of a bit of a way of the male Aes Sedai at the time, paying the Ogier back for their hospitality and their kindness.
Yep. Because in the end, unfortunately, none of the male Aes Sedai could actually stay in the steading. They talk about the fact that while they absolutely stayed there for a while, there is something about being cut off from the One Power that is just kind of devastating. And so you could stay in there for a while and keep yourself from going mad and keep yourself from hurting others. But you just couldn't do it forever. And eventually you would leave the steading and go mad and possibly hurt people. But during the time that they were in the steading, they were safe because they were actually, it seems like they were safe both from using the power as a weapon to hurt anyone else, and also safe from the taint on the power, at least getting more of it. It seemed like they staved off the madness inside the steadings.
Yeah. And these Ogier groves themselves kind of help stave off the longing temporarily to some extent because it helps.
There's a parallel there.
Yeah. It allowed them to kind of be in and immersed and focused on nature, which is the primary love of the Ogier as a whole. It's reflected in a lot of their culture. Their stonework often appears very organic in nature, often appearing like it was grown like plants were.
In fact, they talk about the Waygates every single time they go up to one about how real they look and about how, you know, ridiculously natural. You could pluck off the Avendisora leaf and it just looks like it doesn't even come off. It looks so natural and it looks like it fits in so well and whatnot.
Yeah, and this goes so far to even their written language resembles growing leaves and vines. So the Ogier are very much tied to nature, and this is reflected in the IL name for the Ogier, which is Alantin.
Tree Brothers.
Tree Brothers, yeah. So, and that's how Loyal is greeted by the IL that come across him.
It's not the only thing that he gets greeted by. Even in the eye of the world, we actually hear him get called Tree Brother.
Yep.
By good old Green Man himself.
Oh, yeah. Old Shemester.
Old Shemester.
But yeah, so the Ogier, in terms of appearance, they're generally really tall. Men often being around 8 feet tall, or half again as tall as a man, as described. The women are only slightly shorter and slightly softer in features. They have broad noses, wide mouths, long tufted ears, and eyes the size of teacups. For the Ogier, their ears are actually a secondary erogenous zone.
Why?
So
why did you just include that?
All you Nico fans, there you go. Don't touch my ears or I'll bust your Nico kneecaps. But
that doesn't sound very Ogier.
Yeah, it's not Ogier, but close enough. Might be what Aerith says if somebody gets too close to Loyal.
Don't touch my Loyal's ears or I'll break your Nico kneecaps.
There you go. So yeah, they have a vast reputation for being tied to nature, for being extremely patient, for having long lifespans, for having long memories as a part of that lifespan, and just mm-hmm. being incredibly talented in whatever it is they decide to do. We see Loyal keeping just incredible records of everything that's going on in his journey with Rand and Matt and everybody else. And that persists throughout the entire series, oftentimes where he's stressing over the fact that they haven't gotten a break for him to significantly write in his journals and to keep a record of everything going on.
No, I need to remember your exact words, Rand.
Oh, yeah. So their society is pretty interesting, as honestly all of these societies are, all these cultures are.
Accurate.
But they're very peaceful but reclusive kind of race. They generally try to avoid especially the affairs of man. We hear Loyal say it all the time that, you know, to Rand, that humans are just so hasty that they're always running around rushing, trying to do everything. But he is impressed by the amount of things that man has been able to do in its short life. So, you know, Loyal eventually kind of comes to respect mankind. Or, you know, maybe maybe you're just hasty because your lives are so much shorter than ours and you have to do more in a shorter time. Yep. So,
well, and of course, I think that Loyal, especially being involved in all of this, realizes that there is a time for haste. Because again, there are many times throughout history, I'm sure, where there have been entire generations of humans that just haven't had anything, you know, significant going on. There hasn't been a war that has threatened their country. There hasn't been, you know, drastic droughts or weather changes or anything, you know, along those lines. There's certainly, you know, not been a breaking of the world in thousands of years. So again, like, all there are peaceful times. And so there are plenty of people who are actually pretty Ogier-like in some ways of just living day to day, farming, taking care of their you know, house and their family, and then dying peacefully. Once you get to the point where Tarmogoyden is happening, even if you're an Ogier, you got to kind of agree that maybe now's the time to speed things up a little.
A little bit.
You can't just go ahead and wait for things to happen. You can't just watch from the sidelines. You gotta be involved in this or things are gonna go bad. It takes a village, or in this case, an entire continent.
Yeah. So the Ogier have not always been abundantly peaceful. Not that they were necessarily ever a very warring people. But they are known, at least in history, to be very fierce warriors. Yes. During the Age of Legends.
If you ever piss off an Ogier, you better fucking be ready.
Yeah. They actually have the saying, it says, to anger the Ogier and bring mountains down on your head.
Yeah.
It's like go. The difficulty of how hard it is to provoke the Ogier, but also how dangerous it is to do so. They were fierce warriors during the Age of Legends and the War of the Shadow. It appears that they also potentially acted as a police, as a sort of police force, with Luster and Telamon elected as their head. It's being in charge of them, at least as the police force and as warriors. They also were involved.
Which, of course, to think about that makes so much sense. Because let's be honest, who do you want as your police? The people who are going to be as patient as they need to figure out what happened. But once they figure out what happened and sentence you to something, it's gonna happen. That's just, they're gonna follow through. Because these are Ogier.
Oh, yeah. And the same could be said for them during the Trolloc Wars. And it's even said that even the non-warriors of the Ogier could easily rip apart a Trolloc. So that's just to give an idea of just how powerful they can be when motivated to such actions.
Yep.
During the Age of Legends, the Ogier used their skills at tree singing along with the Daishin Aiel and the Nim to assist in the growth of crops, which led to them being known as Tia Avende Alentin, which Old Tongue literally translates to brother to the trees, eventually shortened to Alentin, simply tree brother.
Yep.
So that's kind of their history. They refused to take part in any wars within humans, and they even avoided the War of the Hundred Years. However, they are concerned with the Shadow, and whenever the Shadow threatens the world, the Ogier generally march to face it, which we do see in Ptarmigan. So,
yes.
Population-wise, per steading, on average, it's thought that there's around 6,000 Ogier per steading, but the number is not really thought to be super accurate given how reclusive they are and the fact they don't keep records of their population. They're not worried about that kind of stuff.
Well, they do, I'm sure.
Yeah. I know, well, not that we see.
Seems ridiculous.
I mean, it does. I think they more so, like, not in a way that we could really easily understand. They're not going to be like, this date, there were this many Ogier. They might keep tracks of the comings and goings and travels, and you could figure it out, and they know kind of what it is.
Well, but I'm figuring that there's some book somewhere that has, you know, a lineage of every Ogier family in the Steading. And that an Ogier could probably figure out relatively quickly how many Ogier that means that there are in a Steading, but a human would look at the book for like 8 seconds and be like, I don't even know how to read this.
Why does it take 800 pages to get one number? Stop putting a long handle on your axe, young one.
That's so, only book one. There are four tomes.
So there were currently during the time that the Wheel of Time takes place, there were 41 known populated steadings, which, based off of the metric of about 6,000 per steading, means a population in roughly excess of 250,000. However, the Wheel of Time Companion cites that there's slightly less than 500,000 in the Westlands, which would indicate an average of 12,000 Ogier per. Per steading.
1,200.
What did I say? 12,000. To be slightly less than 500,000, as the companion insinuates. That would mean double.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. You're right. It's doubling, not halving. You're right. My bad.
So the first part is from the world of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time, also known as the Big White Book of Bad Art. Almost said it the wrong way.
The Big Bad Book of White Art.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably accurate as well. So that would imply something completely different.
It would. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's in general how an overview of the Ogier culture. That's without addressing things like the stump and things like that. We learn from Loyal that the stump is where the elders of the Steading meet. That's what they call their governing structure. That's like their council of elders.
Yep.
And that's where they meet and make decisions. And for the Ogier, it's not uncommon for the stump to meet for years at a time to make a decision on one thing.
Not meet for many, 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 many years.
Which is why we even see Loyal out of a Steading, because generally you get permission from the stump to leave the Steading if you're under what they consider young. But Loyal went ahead and figured that, well, if they met, by the time they made the decision, I'd already be old enough to just leave anyway. So I'll just leave now. And that is, for them, even now, considered a hasty action. You know, mm-hmm. He even worries oftentimes that, you know, he's too hasty for the Ogier culture and lifestyle. And yep. We look at him and it's like, you move like molasses compared to us.
Yes. It is also kind of funny. The stump always reminds me of the scene in Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, where the Ents are finally meeting to go ahead and make a decision on whether they're going to go to war with Saruman for cutting down parts of Fangorn Forest. And there's the fantastic line that Treebeard has where, you know, Merry's like, well, have you made a decision? I mean, like, we've been standing here all day with you guys, you know, talking about this. And Treebeard's like, no. We have just finished saying good morning. And you're just like, oh my God. So you haven't even talked about the issue yet at all. And I feel like that has got to be every meeting of the stump, of where, you know, these Ogier elders, who we all know that even when you're humans, you do start to, you know, slow down and take a little longer to do things and whatnot when you're a human elder. And so just taking that to the nth degree of these, you know, Ogier elders finally getting together, there's got to be at least weeks of them just like shooting the shit with each other, if you will, and not even talking about what they got together to meet for. And then they finally get to what they were talking about. And, you know, if a discussion between two people, two humans, with disagreements takes forever, you know, a discussion between even two Ogier that disagree with each other would take forever, let alone, you know, the grand elders of each Steading who all have different opinions on what the Ogier should do and what their place is and how they should do it and why they should do it and all of that different stuff. I can only imagine how long it would take to say literally anything or come to any decisions with the Ogier.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was a good analogy. I forgot all about that part of Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God, it's one of my favorite parts.
I'm just impressed you can like remember the name of the forest. I'm just like, forest.
Yeah. No, dude, there's it has one of my favorite lines in that exchange. Because Merry's like, Merry and Pippin are, again, it's been all day. They've been sitting there. It's now dark. And they're just like, cool, so what's the decision? You guys have been talking about this all day. Now you're going to decide, or now you're just going to tell us whether yay or nay on going to Isengard. And Treebeard goes, no, we've just finished saying good morning. And Merry looks at him and he goes, but it's nighttime. And it's just such a good line. And I've used it for so many different things. especially when it gets dark really early, people will be like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna have a really late lunch, and you're like, but it's nighttime. It works in so many different situations. It's so good.
This is very true.
But this is one of the things that you've talked about a couple of times, that the Ogier are known for their patience. They're known for their long memories. They're known for their long lives. And the stump is just that to turned up to 11. And it's the slowest, most patient, most long-memoried, oldest members of, excuse me, the Ogier of every setting coming together and trying to make a decision about what the fuck to do.
Yeah. I mean, well, oftentimes it's like per setting. So like each setting kind of functions almost as like an independent state or yes. nation, to use the more known phrase. Technically, when you're talking about like world politics, each nation is actually a state because nation is like a collective group of people. Whereas like France, Europe, Germany, United States of America are technically states on the world political stage.
Yes.
So just in case anybody was confused why sometimes I use the two interchangeably, they're technically yeah. not.
Well, it just depends calls... on it just depends on what sort of metric you're using. Because yeah. again, if you're talking about world politics, then the countries are states.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a country, the states are states.
Yeah, unless you call them like provinces or something sure. like that.
But who would do that?
I mean, that's like here, technically the proper term of address is like the Cherokee or the Sioux or the Blackfoot or whatever nation. Not yes. like the, you don't say like the Cherokee country or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what I'm getting at. Nation is more like the collective group of people, whereas state is like the political and geographical boundaries.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, no. I guess I shouldn't, I should be more clear because there is meetings of the stump, which occur yeah. in each setting. You are absolutely correct. The great stump is the one where all of the leadership of each setting meets with the leadership of each other setting. And that's the one where it takes 12,000 years for them to actually come to any decision about what the nation of the Ogier should do. And you're just yeah. like, Jesus Christ, I wish that I could sit in on that. And also I'm so glad that we don't ever have to hear anything about that, because fucking hell.
Yeah. So interesting thing, tree singing currently seems to be a talent unique to the Ogier now. But it is mentioned that Luz Theron and Eliana both had what they call the voice, yes. which is basically the Ogier saying you have the talent for tree singing, which is what was used during the Age of Legends. They would do what they called seed singing along with the yes. Nym. And I think it was predominantly the male Aes Sedai that would
come together. The male Aes Sedai and the male Aiel.
Yeah. That would come together and sing, and this made their agricultural endeavors extremely effective and extremely yes. bountiful. So we should all get together and sing and actually bless the rains down in Africa so that crops grow better.
Well, I mean, have you ever heard of a werewolf in Africa?
This is true. It's
no.
Because the rains are blessed. So this is very common. We see Loial, he sings to a dead tree in Eye of the World. He also sings over the fallen body of the Green Man or Semesta, hoping to give his brother, because he very much sees Semesta as a brother, and all yeah. of nature is like a family,
yeah.
a beautiful resting place that would resist the blight for as long as he could make happen. And then later on, in the Great Hunt, when they're in the Mirror World and it becomes clear they're going to get involved in conflict, Loial sings to a tree. Well, I think it was a bow
staff. Or actually, it's a bow staff. Yeah. yeah. Originally, it's a bow staff. He doesn't yeah. get the axe until later.
Which anybody else would be like a small tree.
Yeah.
But for Loial, it's like twiggy. But he does that. And we see Rand describe it as, you know, a third party or second party, whatever you want to call it, listening in. Describes it as if the earth itself sang. So it really makes me think of like this harmonic resonance that
oh,
I
yeah.
think like the metaphysics of it would be that they know a way to sing in octaves that resonate well with the growth and cellular reproduction of trees and nature to entice them to grow better.
They are that's how singing in a resonant frequency.
Because if you didn't know, that's the way things grow. That's how people grow. That's also the reason we age like yes. we do and stuff. It's because of cellular reproduction. So that might be like a metaphysical thing for it. It's just something, which that would imply though that anybody with the vocal range for it could do it. So then we get back into our old argument of capital T talent and little t talent. So,
well, I think it, yeah, it is a question because, of course, as we know in human, the human world that we live in right now,
this piece of shit,
I am unaware of anyone who actually has the vocal structure that would be capable of making sounds in a resonant frequency with nature.
No, we only figured out the brown noise.
The brown note.
Yep.
And so that leads me to believe, since I'm sure that there have been people who have been looking for it, I bet we could make such a sound artificially and not using our own vocal cords. I have a feeling that it is outside the capability of humans.
What if I use two megaphones?
Well, then you'd break all of Springfield.
Eh. You're fine.
But that actually does lead me to believe that some people, I mean, again, even in our world right now, you have people like, you know, many of my friends when I was growing up who actually have a very limited range of being able to speak and to sing and whatnot. And they'll be able to sing in, you know, a 1.5 octave range or something like that. And then there's myself, who actually has a little bit more extensive of a range, but certainly not crazy, where I can get about 2.5. And then you have someone like Freddie Mercury or like Mariah Carey, who is sort of blessed in some ways with a ridiculous range, and they can do something in the neighborhood of like 3.5 to 4. And so it's definitely a situation where it might be a capital T talent, because they just literally have the vocal cords capable and were born with the vocal cords capable of doing it. And so anyone with those vocal cords can be taught, sure, but you have to be born with those vocal cords. Therefore, just because it can be taught doesn't mean it's not a capital T talent, because you do also have to be born with something.
Yeah. Here's an interesting topic. Oogie or marriages?
Oh, God, yeah.
Very much arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. When Loial finds out that he is marrying Aerith, it finds out that her mother and Elder Haman have reached an agreement, and that the betrothal was signed, so there's paperwork involved. And here's a twist on what we know from like our history, is normally a dowry is paid for the female in the heterosexual marriage, traditionally, yes, speaking, historically,
by the
speaking.
Female's family.
No, to the female's family.
Nope, by the female's family. A dowry absolutely comes from female family to male family. Yes. That's why it's still tradition for the wife's parents to pay for the wedding.
I am wrong. You are right.
But yeah, it's basically
then it's very much still the same way.
Yeah, indeed.
In
the history of families, you're basically paying someone to take your daughter. Because unfortunately, again, in the history of humanity, women have had many less rights and things like that. And so if you have daughters up until the time that they are marrying age, they are a burden on your family. And then once they get above marriage age, they can then go get married and become someone else's problem. And you sort of pay them to take a burden off your hands. Again, I am using shitty terms here because that's the way it was. All of this was shitty. We live in a much more forward-thinking society now that's still not even perfect. But again, it was definitely the idea that this
this daughter is our family's responsibility, and they can't make any money. So they are a burden on us. And so we are going to pay you in some ways to take this burden off our shoulders. And now she is yours to take care of. She is your responsibility.
Yeah. So I was thinking of the bride price, which is a far less ingenuitive name than dowry, which both of which are the origins for the traditional sense of like Anglo-Saxon Protestant marriages, where the groom's family pays for the rehearsal affair and the bride's family pays for the actual wedding. And that comes from dowry and bride price.
Yep.
So in the Ogier custom, there is a dowry paid, though it is referenced as loyal's dowry. So it may still be kind of the other way around. Same idea, but the kind of, dare I say, gender kind of roles swapped. It's not, it's the bride's family. No, that's still the same way you said it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the bride's family paying loyal.
So it would be loyal's family paying the bride's family.
Yes.
So same idea, just the male's family paying the female's family.
Yep.
So it'd be like the bride price, but the concept here is listed as dowry. Which we're not going to get into the whole like gender roles of that, whether it's right or wrong or that kind of stuff. We're just talking about the Ogier and kind of how they do things.
Yep. Though it is funny because, again, it does seem like Loyal was actually very afraid or wary in some ways of his mother doing this and going ahead and marrying him off and arranging a marriage without, you know, him being able to say anything about it and being him without him being able to travel and learn about the world that he is so desperate to know more about. Because if he's already married, then she will force him to stay home, things like that. And yet in the story that we get, we actually have this sort of like mesh or sort of like midpoint of arranged marriage or marriage for love. Because in this situation, we have Loyal leaves setting Shanghai and travels the world. And ends up at some point very early on in Setting Sofu. Aerith is from Setting Sofu, and he meets her, and he immediately falls head over heels for her, and she basically does the same thing. Once that occurs, Aerith then encourages her mother to go and meet with Loyal's mother to arrange the marriage between them. And so you definitely still have this arranged marriage. Again, it's very much the mothers are deciding for their children in so many ways. You know, Aerith is the catalyst for this, but at the same time, the mothers make this deal. It is signed off by an elder. It is, you know, everybody makes this sort of transactionary arrangement thing. But the nice thing about this one is that both of them want it. Both of them are head over heels for the other one. And it's actually Aerith in some ways having the wherewithal and the sort of proactive nature to go to her mom and say, this is the guy I'd like you to arrange my marriage with. And she goes, yeah, cool. That sounds great.
And it seems she also has a say in whether it's accepted and goes through or not, because correct. Elder Haman even asked her, you know, are you sure that you are ready? And Aerith says yes. So it's her confirmation that she does want to marry him that fully allows things to go through, which facilitates a whole thing as far as the story. Yeah, which goes really well, because then very quickly, Loyal is no longer under the subjective thumb of his mother, Kovril. And Aerith is very quick to remind Kovril that, you know, as his wife, what she says supersedes what mom says. So if Loyal wants to try to address the stump, then he is more than happy to. She just wants to know what he's going to say before he goes and does it. And he's like, well, we've never stood aside for war, so we must stand by the forces of light and fight.
Yeah. No, and it's also funny because this is a moment where, okay, so this is going to go a little off topic for a moment, and I apologize. I will come back.
We always tangent it.
It's true. There is this idea when that I was just thinking about right now. I feel like I've thought about it before, but you know, just kind of came into the forefront now, of the fact that there are three major nations of not, you know, sort of Randlanders, which, you know, would be the Carrion and the Ilioners, the Andorans, all of that, of just sort of, you know, your run-of-the-mill Randland humans, excuse me, that all seem to, in my opinion, and in my reading, sort of translate very well to the thoughts and actions of one of the three Ta'veren. And that would be that, you know, I think that the Aiel, especially because he is one down at his core, even though he was raised in Andorran in so many ways, have a lot of similarities, just sort of the nation itself of the Aiel have a lot of similarities to Rand. And the actions that he has, the desires that he has, the things he thinks are important. And it even has, in some ways, a parallel between their shock at finding out their origins and Rand's shock about finding out about his origins. Then you also have Matt and the Shan Chan. And I think that that is actually also a very good parallel because, again, there are a lot of things that Matt does that the Shan Chan do, as well as, you know, again, not everybody's always okay with everything Matt does. Not everybody's always okay with the things that the Shan Chan do. There is this sort of like rogue-like quality about each one that's like, okay, overall, we accept Matt, but there's certain pieces about him that are very frustrating. In this case, I would say that the Black Tower has fallen on the side of not really being able to fully accept the Shan Chan and accept the things that they do well. So it's a little bit the opposite, but again, it's I feel like there is some parallel there. And then, of course, you have the Ogier. And I feel like there is a lot of parallel that you can make to Perrin, where they take their time. They are these very strong beings that have to think carefully about what they do, because if they throw their support behind the wrong nation, if they throw their support behind the wrong entity, things like that, bad things happen. So they do actually take, they're known for being slow. They're known for being methodical. They're known for measuring twice and cutting once, which is, you know, huge in blacksmithing. It's huge in the way that Perrin thinks about himself and carries himself. And, you know, at the end of the day, even the, I know that they're all from here, but Perrin is the one who buys into the most into Two Rivers culture. And here we have a situation where at the very beginning of the series, you know, Rand is walking around talking about the fact that all of these women in Emmons Field have been trying to go ahead and arrange Tam's marriage to somebody. And have been trying to go ahead and get him to settle down again with another woman who can be, you know, Rand's mother, you know, the second love of his life, you know, all of those different things. And here we have the Ogier, who are, you know, in my sort of view of it, very parallel to Perrin, who throughout the entire books is just trying to be a good Two Rivers man, is just trying to live his life like he's, you know, he's even running around the most with all of the people from the Two Rivers. He is Lord Perrin Goldeneyes of the Two Rivers. And here you have, you know, the Ogier who have so many different qualities that are similar to Perrin, and also even have these like marriage ideas that are very along the lines of the Two Rivers. And I never quite put that together until this moment now while we were talking about it, but I fucking love that. That's great.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. I never thought about that either. I mean, I think at some point I did think that the Ogier and Perrin were similar. I'd never really thought about Rand in the IL because it's just such an obvious thing. Like,
right.
You know, yeah. It is what it is. And
no, that one's the easiest one because it's literally like they hammer those similarities into you. They're like, no, Rand is an IEL.
I want you to look at
the IEL is Rand. Rand is the IEL.
Well, series kind of puts these blinders on you where what could Rand be related to? Well, it's everybody. Nope, the IEL. Nope,
it's the
IEL. Well, it could be. Nope, look right here. But I mean, Matt is the only one you
with
can really
those
make an
eyes
argument for.
And those hair? What?
Yeah. Matt is, I think, the only one you can make an argument for. Like, it depends on what version of Matt you're talking about. Are we talking about...
I agree
with that. Because for me, there's three versions of Matt. There's, I've got a badger that I'm ready to loosen the green to scare the girls. four. There's, I'm paranoid about everything and don't touch my fucking dagger, Matt.
I wouldn't necessarily count that because while I absolutely agree, that is absolutely outside forces changing on Matt, and I don't necessarily think that you can really, like, again, it is part of Matt's character. Ignoring it is foolish.
Yeah, well, but at the same time, it's a different segment of his character.
It's a different segment of his story. Yeah,
and then you have the I don't remember a lot of different things. I have a lot of holes in my memory, Matt. That's just kind of trying to find his way about things. And then you have the gaps have been filled with all kinds of other
post-Druidian Matt.
All kinds of other memories have been bonded into my mind. And I think it's that Matt, the Matt that has his memory gaps filled, that, meshes with the Sean Chan.
Agreed.
Which
is, of course, again, one of Speaking the reasons up. That I think it's kind of humorous in some ways, again, not to derail too much, but it's kind of funny that, like, the Eilfin? No, it's the Eilfin that Matt is the only one who meets with because he's the only one who goes through the second red door. I know that later on people do. But he's the only one who goes through that second red door initially. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways. Because you know, or at least I have a strong, strong, strong feeling, that Tuon would not have given book 1-4 Matt the time of day. She would not have given a shit about book 1-4 Matt. It's only after his trip into Ruidian and through that door, after meeting with the Eilfin, that he turns into the Matt that Tuon actually cares about in any way, shape, or form. And so in some ways, I always laugh at that segment in a little bit that the Eilfin are like, oh, and you're going, oh, wait, no, it's the Eilfin. Never mind. Sorry, I take that back. It's the Eilfin who tell him he's going to marry them, the daughter of the Nine Moons, and then it's the Eilfin who make it so. And I always think that's funny because it's like, again, the Eilfin are like, no, you're gonna marry this woman. And you're like, this Matt? No, he's not. And then he meets with the Eilfin, gets his memories filled in, gets this like amazing luck stat, and then you're like, okay, now I can see him actually marrying the daughter of the Nine Moons. I get it now.
Yeah. But mentioning the Sean Chan, do you remember who the gardeners are?
Yes, those are a group of Ogier who are very much known for their warrior status.
Who do they serve with?
The Black Guard? Black Watch? Fuck.
No. Close.
Tell me it.
The Death Watch Guard.
The Death Watch! I knew it! Yes!
Yeah. They wear the same red and dark green armor as the humans in the garden. They carry long hafted, which is hilarious, black tasseled axes, which is a contrast to the human guard. But they are not Dakovel to the Empress. And they actually, there's one rank identified as a first governor, which is held by Hartha.
Yes. In fact, funny enough, I'm on another reread. And I've been on it for a while because I've put it down a number of times. But I am literally just, listening, because I'm doing it on audiobook this time, about the... Tuon has just been kidnapped. And they are sending the Death Watch to go and find her,
And he talks about the leader of the Death Watch, which is the one that gets sent, who has, you know, a POV and whatnot in the beginning of the book, goes off and meets with all of the people he's going to use to go ahead and help him find them, and a number of them are gardeners. So I literally just fucking read this, and I was like, I know this, and I'm so mad I can't come up with the right answer.
Yep, and we have no idea how many Ogier reside within the Seanchan Empire.
Correct.
So take the 500,000 estimated in the Wheel of Time Companion, and then put an asterisk that we don't know exact numbers for the Westlands. We don't know anything about the Seanchan Empire. We also don't know if there are any in Sara.
Well, and crazy thought that that has occurred to me before, but is,
that's, you know, we specialize in
completely occurring to me right now, is that absolutely based on information we have been given means that there are Steading in Seanchan. Otherwise, the Ogier in Seanchan are very special and don't need Steadings, which I don't see happening. But that means that they're setting in Seanchan, which, again, is an interesting thought to think about. Of, there must have always been setting in Seanchan. And not only that, never mind. They go to Seanchan after the breaking of the world. So yeah, no, it's a question of, were there always setting in Seanchan, or were some of them moved to Seanchan during the breaking?
The world may never know.
Well, Harry could probably answer that question.
Probably.
There's a note somewhere. Brandon, yes. Matt, let us know.
The we'll notes. Pull out there. The Ouija board. Robert Jordan's spirit can spell it out for us.
There we go.
Could you imagine sitting there for like 3 hours spelling out like an entire page of notes on a Ouija board?
Speaking of trivia, though, I do actually have some news.
Oh.
That I meant to actually go ahead and tell you and all of the Patreons in the
before section. Was that last Friday or is that this Friday? Actually,
that was this past Friday.
Son of a bitch.
No, it's all good. Don't worry about it. However, I do want to let everybody know, since I am A, legally allowed to, and B, most people do know, recently, like within the last few months, I was actually a contestant on episode 10 of season 1 of NBC's The Weakest Link, hosted by Jane Lynch, and I actually won my episode. So if you want to go and watch and enjoy yourself, or if you already watch the Weakest Link but have only ever listened to us on podcast and don't know what I look like, I'm the Daniel that's on episode 10, or whose cereal is all luck and no charm, that aired on Have a Good Time. But yeah,
anyway, can we watch this
so thing? I'm better at trivia sometimes. So the two places you can watch it are NBC.com, which has a pretty bad player on it. So I definitely recommend, if you are going to watch and you're okay with making a free account, go use Peacock instead. You can still watch it on an internet browser. Like, you don't need an app.
Well, if I go to NBC.com and the first thing I see is Explore
But Peacock. You do need... Right, yeah. And so, again, if you're okay with making an account, it is free. There is a premium version, but you don't need to pay for it to make an account. I would say go use Peacock because it has a way better player. But if you don't want to make the account for some reason, can still just watch it on NBC.com without actually logging into anything and totally for free.
Nice.
Not Sorry. All of the content is free. Bless you. No, you're good. But yeah. Oh man, new thoughts about the Ogier, old thoughts about the Ogier. We got a lot of good stuff about the Ogier in here.
I think we did.
A lot of fun. I like it.
As always. So yeah. I hate that Josh couldn't be here as always. I'm sure he had some interesting thoughts.
As much as right, as much as I hate and whatnot, and do really, with the exception of one, and do really think that, you know, they all have some really awesome things about them, I have to admit that while character-wise, if you're talking about just a singular entity, I definitely relate the absolute most with Rand and am the most impressed with the singular character and character development and everything like that with Randall Thor. Definitely of all of the nations in Randland, of all of the characters and whatnot as a whole, the Ogier are actually my favorite. I have to say that Loyal is very high up there as far as one of the characters that I think is fantastically done. And just the Ogier nation, if you will, and the Ogier race is so well put together, in my opinion, and has some really, really interesting things that they have going for them, that they need to overcome, that, you know, is part of their society. All of that just mixed into it. The Ogier have always been my favorite nation in the Wheel of Time. So I've been looking forward to this episode for a while.
Good. I really enjoy the Ogier. They're not my favorite like civilization or culture. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before.
We have different opinions.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. It's fake news. The IL for me are my favorite. Yeah. But I've always been more attracted to more like warrior-esque cultures and that kind of stuff. So I'm not surprised by the fact that I like the IL.
So
that's just me. You can lay whatever cause behind it mm-hmm. that you want. That's fine. I still have an IL tattoo. And you probably don't. So
I don't.
Well, not you specifically, but any whoever's.
But I could see myself getting some kind of Ogier tattoo. Maybe I should just get ears tattooed over my ears.
So that means that Josh has to get a Sean Chan tattoo to complete the trifecta.
No. No, he would not do
that. We'll get him a tattooed collar.
A tattooed item.
Oh,
that'd be so terrible. Oh my god, that would actually be a really cool tattoo, though. Like, if you actually got I know that it wouldn't actually be the book, of course, obviously, but if you actually got a tattoo that was literally a collar that then went to a leash, like, down your own arm and then to a clasp on your wrist, that would be a really cool tattoo. I could definitely, like, see that as a really dope tattoo. Even though, again, it represents a reprehensible thing, it would still be a cool tattoo.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't think of a real counter argument for that beyond what's already stated.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you decide to put permanently on your body or semi-permanently given laser removal is your business. If laser removal is already painful, I'd hate to think how painful it could be on the neck.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Yeah. Face tattoos and neck tattoos are the ones that I would never want.
Yeah. Personally, I agree. I don't want face or neck tattoos. Like anything that goes
and
like
again,
if it goes like right up here, then I'm kind of fine. But not like on the neck.
And again,
I'm not trying to be a GTA 5 gangster.
Very, very clear. If you want, right, and if you want that, please. Go get neck tattoos. Go get face tattoos. We're not telling you how to live your life. It's just personally, I think both of us would avoid neck and face tattoos.
Yeah. I'll get a tear anyway. Tattoo for every Wheel of Time name I've butchered. My whole face would just be covered.
I was going to say, are you going to do them real small? Like, is it going to be tiny little, like a dot?
For yeah, point one font. My face would still be covered.
That's not true.
All but that. That would be the only regular face you see. But
actually, that would be super cool if you got a teardrop for each book you've read, and each one of them had a number inside. Just get 50.
Kind of sounds like more like anime Bleach style for all the what do they call them? Not the visored, but
no, the like demons had, like, or whatever you put back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The anyway. Ones like Grimmjow was and all them. I think they all had like numbers tattooed on. Anyway. So this has been our episode on the O-Gear culture. Indeed. There are definitely things or aspects that we kind of glossed over and didn't have time to go in depth about. You'd be surprised how fast deciding on an hour and a half long episode goes by, even when it's just the two of us. That kind of happens. So let us know, whether it's in a tweet, whether it's in an email, whether it's in the comments down below on YouTube, wherever you can, what you'd like for us to talk more about. If you want the fastest possible response to what you say, hit us up on Discord. There's an invite link with every episode where you can hop right on over into our Discord and join over 100 other people in talking about what you hear on the episode. We have a spoiler section where you can put all the series-style spoiler stuff on. Like Daniel hinted at, towards the beginning of the episode, at the beginning of the episode, we have a Patreon-specific section. We also have sections where other content creators post their news and all that kind of stuff. And there's all kinds of fun little channels to go in and like post your memes, whether they're just regular memes, Wheel of Time memes, NSFW memes, within reason. It's not a porn channel. It's just yes. more adult-themed humor. That kind of stuff, as well as the land of triggers for the things that you may want to talk about that may be offensive or very volatile with discussions for people.
And in fact, while we are definitely still very much, a Wheel of Time sort of specific, or at least very, very strongly, that direction and whatnot, one of the more popular channels on our Discord recently has been the Cosmere
Shard posting Cosmere
as well. So if you are also a fan of that, yes, Shard posting. If you want to go, come on over and check out that as well. You're more than welcome. Again, we are very much a Wheel of Time podcast, but we are also very inclusive and welcoming. So if you want to stop by and talk about other things, I don't think anybody's going to get mad at you as long as it's something that they're also interested in. And we have a
Hater's diverse gonna hate, potatoes gonna
number potato. Of interests. So you're right. Exactly. So we have a wide variety of interests. And so I feel like you'll probably find people that you like, in just about, or for just about everything.
Yep. And if you become a patron, you definitely want to be already in the Discord. So that way you can listen to us when we record live. That is the fastest way to hear what each episode is about. And then, of course, if you're at the dedicated tier or above, you will get the episodes the Friday after they are recorded, while everybody else has to wait a week and a half for the episodes. Which, to listen live, you only have to be, you can get that for the lowest tier, the $1 tier, the soldier tier. And you can listen live. So there's a pseudo kind of life hack to listen to the episode ahead of time without paying $4 a month to help support what we do here at the Black Tower Podcast, and then getting the YouTube release of the episode. Though you do get the dope intro from Lauren with Unraveling the Pattern in it. So
yep,
that could be something. But yeah. So definitely head over to blacktowerpod.com. You can find all of our social media there, our Twitter, our Instagram, our YouTube, all that fun stuff, as well as our merch store, where you can go and get Dragon Swarm merch, as well as Black Tower Podcast merch. Mm-hmm. We have a couple designs up there. We're working on some other stuff to get up there. Things are just kind of hectic right now with it being the holiday season. But you can head over there. and check out all that stuff. We also have forums where you can discuss different things from the episodes. You can post pretty much within reason, whatever you want, and talk about it. And generally, we kind of try to get on there and talk about things as well when we have stuff to respond to. So that being said, this has been our kind of discussion on the O-Gear culture. So what things did we not talk about that you wish we had spent more time on? What are some things that maybe you feel differently about? And what are some things that maybe you heard that you didn't think about or that you agree with? Let us know wherever you can reach us in the comments down below, in Discord, Twitter, wherever. But I think this is as good a time as any. So for those of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been Andrew. Josh has been here with us in spirit because he couldn't be here physically because he's doing family things. So, yeah.
Family things. Yes. And for me as well, over here, your other host, Daniel, we hope that you are having a lovely, lovely day. We hope that everything is going your way, that the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and that the madness has not taken you. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.